We are on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph towards the bottom. Let's just chazer so we can jump back in. The Mishnah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, had told us there's something called a Sukkah Mevduv Leles. We saw that was a machlokes, what exactly it refers to. If it's a Shavacha Schacha Sukkah, or if it means that it's not just a limited number of pieces of Schach, but it actually is up and down. The Schach is positioned where there is one beneath, one a little bit over. So on the bottom of the floor, there is continuous shade, but the Schach itself is in levels. Originally, we thought that it all revolved around Lavud, and that is the approach of Abaye. But Rava says, no, the Chiddush is beyond that. There's a bigger Chiddush to this idea of a Schach that's in levels, because there's a concept called Chavut Rami. That we can imagine, like we discussed in the past, that there's like a virtual wall. That once you have a kaira, once you have a tefach thick of something, we actually can visualize it as coming down and completing a wall. It's a huge chiddush, but that's what we find in Hilchos Eruvin, Hilchos Shabbos. So that's what Rava says. There's something similar going on here, that we can envision that the schach, as long as it's a tefach thick, can come down, and it's actually connected to the other piece of schach that's beneath it. Even though it's more, it's three tefachim or more away from each other, and you cannot say they're lovewood to each other. And he brought a raya to this from where? Anybody remember what area of halakha did he bring a raya to this from? That's right, Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Then when it comes to Tumas Oihel, Tumas Meis, that there's, it spreads wherever there's an oil. So if you have, your mother-in-law's head is under one of those pieces of schach, will it spread throughout the entire house, entire sukkah, or not? Well, that will depend on whether or not we view these two pieces of schach that are like this as actually being continual, or we view them as being disparate from each other. And the halacha is that the tumah spreads throughout, which means that even though they are far away from each other and they're not lavud, nonetheless, we have the concept of chavut rami, since it's a tefach thick, it goes all the way down and connects itself to the piece of schach that's beneath it, or the piece of ceiling that's beneath it, and it's considered to be a continual roof, and the tumah spreads throughout. Picking it up at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom, it says, Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamer l'shemaitza. So Rav Kahana was Yosef. What's Yosef? How do you know? Why does Yosef mean? So really, how do you say it in Hebrew? Yosef. It's really Yosef. So it's Yosef. Yeah. So Yosef. Rav Kahana was sitting v'kamer l'shemaitza. And he was telling over this shmua, this mesorah, this thing that he heard, which meaning the previous comment, and what the Gemara is going to focus. We don't know historically why exactly he was telling it over, what exactly was the shit, we don't care. The point is that when he was telling this over, we know that Rav Ashi was there, and Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, really? V'chol heicha, everywhere, the lesbe tefach, where you don't have a tefach thick of board, roof, schach, whatever it is, lo amrinan chavurami, you can't say, Chavut Rami, that it lowers and it connects itself to the next piece. I got a brisa that seems to indicate that even if you have a piece that's less than a tefach, you can still say that it goes down and connects itself, even though it's not lavud. Even though it's not lavud, there's this concept of Chavut Rami. Yeah.
What exactly is
I don't know much about it, other than to tell you, and I can't explain it better than, it's one of these magic tricks in Hilchos Eruvin, and Hilchos Shabbos, and whatnot, and Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara over here, that even, normally we say, that when two objects, two pieces that are, we want to imagine them as continuous, so let's say, the Gemara's going to discuss in a minute, a case where you have a koira. So a koira, just a chazer, is when you have a mavui, and it has three walls, you're not allowed to carry until you make a quote-unquote virtual wall on the fourth side. So that's at least virtually enclosed. How do you do that? There are two possibilities. What are the two possibilities? Well, Kura is one of them. That's a beam on top. The other possibility is what? Who remembers? Come on, somebody. On the side? What do you put on the side that you can use? Remember I told you a million times we used about Eruvin? By Eruvin, by the poles, sometimes you find a telephone pole, but the telephone pole doesn't go right above. The wires go above the pole, so we build a... Darn. A lechi. A lechi is a post that we put up. It doesn't have to have much dimensions to it. It has to be 10 tefachim high. That's about it. But that was where I talked about the CBC pipes that you find all around these poles for to make Eruvin. So that way the string goes directly on top of it. Okay, but in any case, those are two things you can do. So you can imagine a case where you have, this is what we'll discuss in a moment, you can imagine a case where you have the alleyway. You don't have to get too fancy. Where you have basically the walls are coming out from this alleyway. So you want to build a kira on top. So if it goes all the way across, that's your kira. You could build a lechi here.
Perspective, huh?
You could build a lechi here, 10 tefachim high, and that would be good enough also. But we're not discussing that. We're discussing making a kira that goes across. So what happens if you have a kira that goes from one side, but there's space in between? It doesn't reach. Maybe there was a really heavy bird sitting on it one day and collapsed. I don't know. Whatever. So there's a space in between. So it sticks out here, and it sticks out on both sides, but they don't meet in the middle. So we have a principle called lovehood. Lovehood is always going to connect them. We've discussed that 100 times already. What we are discovering now is a new concept called chavut rami. So if you have a sukkah or a building, a house, whatever, that has these beams that are sticking out on different levels. So if they're lovehood to each other, we'll view them as connected and continuous. But if they're not lovehood, sounds like you have to view them as separate entities. So what we dealt with was Tumah V'Tahara. If it's under this beam in the house, so then it's going to be stuck under this oil. It can't spread. Unless we view this one as connected to it. But how can we view it as connected? It's so high up, it's not connected. So that's the concept of Chavut Rami, is that we envision them as if it's continuous. We have this concept in Eruvin all over the place. The Kura is an example of it, where even though this is just a beam that goes on top, we envision it as a wall. We envision sometimes an awning as if it actually comes down. Sometimes it can even go up. So if a person is sitting on a pillar that's 7 by 7 tefachim, and it's 10 tefachim high, so that's a whole Rosh Hashayachid in and of itself. But it doesn't have walls. You're just sitting on top of a big fat pillar. But we view, we can do in certain situations, that the walls continue up above a person. It's a virtual wall. So you have all these scenarios in Hilchos Eruvin, in Hilchos Shabbos. We've been assuming, that's what Rava claimed, that you can only say this, that it's a virtual wall that goes down, when that koiro, and that piece, that beam, or whatever it is a tefach thick. But if it's less than a tefach, then it's just a stick. You can't say this halacha that it's considered like a continuous wall. So that's what Rav Ashi is fighting against. Rav Kahana reported this whole shmua, and Rav Ashi attacks him. Amar li Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, v'chol heichav everywhere the lesbe tefach, where there is not a tefach of width. Lo yarmina chavut rami, we don't say chavut rami that it lowers itself and it makes this virtual wall. V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a a beam that is coming out of this wall, ve'ena noigas, and does not contact, does not touch, the other, this wall, I mean the one that it's across from, so this picture over here, where they're coming out, but they don't contact each other. V'chein, similarly, so too, shtei kairis, achas yoytze mikos, wait, what did I just say? Kaira yoytze mikos, ve'ena noigas, ve'koyselzeh, v'chein shtei kairis, they also, one comes out from one side and they don't touch each other. What is the difference between these two cases? One is a case where it doesn't reach the wall, and one is a case where the two beams don't reach each other. Right? So the first case was where it doesn't reach the wall. So the beam goes all the way towards the wall but doesn't hit the wall. And the second case is the case that I drew on the board, where the two beams don't touch each other. If they're less than 3 tefachim, either from the wall or from each other, you don't have to bring another beam. Because why? Of what principle? Lovehood. We've saw this in the past. If it's 3 tefachim or more, then you're going to need another kara to put on top of them or to help it to reach the wall in the first case. This is an interesting sheet that we haven't seen before. Shimon ben Gamliel says, this principle of lovehood, he claims, is not 3 tefachim, it's 4 tefachim. Wow, whoever heard of that? So for some reason, the Gemara never quoted this so far. It's interesting, right? The Gemara seems to have
I think it's my phone.
The Gemara seems to have ignored this shita.
until now.
Oh, that's what it is. Metal. Okay, not bad.
Bring it on airplane mode. He's texting. Why do you always need to get your messages?
I didn't know that it was going to...
Our books are Lavi Karakas. Once it hits 4:12, so then you need another beam. Okay, so far these are halachas of love that we saw in the past. That's nothing new. Here we go, something new. Okay, similarly, shtei kareis ha-mat-imot. Ha-mat-imot. So, te'oima is a twin. So, literally translated would be, and similarly, and so too, two beams that are twins. So, what that means to say is that they're just next to each other. They're the same width, and they are placed next to each other. Le bazuki de la kabel ariach. Not in this one is enough to accept a brick. Veloy bazu, and not in this one, kidei enough, lekabel, to accept ariach, a brick. What does that mean? In Hilchas Erevin, so the kaira on top, or sometimes you have these tzuras ha-pesach that we make, and we make the shape of a doorway. So you have a telephone pole, and some kind of string or wire that, you know, that goes on top. So it has to be enough to hold some kind of brick, theoretically. So in the case that we're describing of the kaira, so we're saying it has to be thick enough to hold a brick. But what does that mean, actually, really? So what that means in Chazal is that the bricks were assumed, the bricks were a tefach and a half. In order to hold a brick that's a tefach and a half, you need a tefach of width of the beam. And then there's a half a tefach sticking out one side, half a tefach sticking out the other side, that's fine. It'll balance without a problem. And then so too, if you have a circular koira, where you're not really going to physically be able to balance a brick on it, it's going to fall off. But it means to say that as long as, theoretically, the diameter of that round koira is a tefach, so that's also good enough. It has to theoretically be able to hold this brick, which is a tefach and a half. We're dealing with a case where there are two pieces of wood. Neither one is a tefach. So neither one is capable of holding this ariach because it's going to fall off. But together, we could pull it off. They could hold the area. So either one on its own, neither one is capable of holding an ariach. In mekablis ariach lerochboy tefach, ein sarech lavi kaira acheres. In makbilis ariach, if they would accept an ariach, a brick lerochboy, with the width tefach of a tefach, what does that mean? So this is a big machlokes rishonim. But I think Rashi Pashup Shat is that it means that the width of the two beams combined is a tefach. The Gemara usually has better ways of saying that. It's mitzarif. You know, if it's mitzarif to a tefach. So for some reason, the Gemara says it in a very unusual way here, which lends it to a lot of different opinions in the Rishon on what exactly it means. But none of this is relevant to us in terms of what we're learning, because we're not talking about the halachas of Erevin right now. All we're going to care about is whether or not there's a chabud rami when it's less than a tefach. So that's what we're going to zero in on, but just to read the Gemara straight, it says if they could accept a brick in their width, a tefach, meaning they're wide enough together to make up a tefach, you don't have to bring another beam. You can use the two beams together. Vimlav, but if not, you have to bring another beam. Rishim Megamil, and Rishim Megamil disagrees. He says, what do you mean? Imakablis ariach la orkoi, shloisha tuachim, in sarchavikar acheres. If they could accept a brick in its width of three tvachim, then you don't have to bring another koira. What does that mean? So picture this in your mind, if you can. Cell phone was, you know, well, imagine it's the size, you know, of a brick. So if you're holding the brick this way, so you got a tefach and a half. But this way, you got three tefachim. So as long as you can balance this on top of those two beams, they're spread out from one another. They're not right next to each other. So if you have the two beams directly next to each other, it'll be a tefach. So imagine these are the beams. So they're right next to each other. So the width here is one tefach. So they'll say you don't have to do that. You can spread them out. You could have one of them here, and the other one spread out from it. And as long as your ariach can be balanced this way, which would be three tefachim, so that's also good enough. The first opinion apparently holds not like that. You actually have to have a tefach of koyrim, beam. Here we're saying, no, it's a practicality or something. It has to be able to hold the ariyah, even though you can turn the ariyah in a different direction. It's also good enough. That's what Shimon Gamliel. Vimlav, but if not, if they're too far away even to do that, so encircle the karacheres, and you have to bring another koyra, another beam. Here's what we care about. Hayu achas lemalo v'achas lemato. If one of the beams is higher and one of the beams is lower, so I don't know if you can see the picture from here. Here's the picture that they have. Here's like this opening of this alleyway. You have a kura that's lower and a kura that's higher. So each one on its own is not thick enough to be a valid kura because it's not a tefach thick. It's not enough to hold the aria. But together, if we could imagine them together, then they would be enough to hold the aria. So can we do that? One's way up here and one's down here. They're not directly one above the other. They're staggered a little bit. So if we could imagine them, so then that would be fine. Or if they would love wood to each other, so then we would be able to say that, right? If you remember yesterday, that's really the two levels of Chiddush that we're discussing. The first level of Chiddush that Abaye was saying is that we've never discussed lovewood up and down. We've only discussed lovewood side to side. So that would have been the Chiddush, that's what Abaye thinks the Chiddush is of our Mishnah, is that you can say lovewood up and down. Rava insists there's something else going on. He seems to agree to that. It's just that if they're not lovewood, you can still do something because of this chabut rami idea.
So, well, it's kind of different because if it's up and down, like what we were talking about in our first case, if it's up and down, you know, something here and something here. If it's side to side, it's just like here to here. It's not like here.
But we view them as connected when they're side to side.
Yeah, but this is not side to side.
Right. So if they're, if the chiddush A is you can still say lovewood. That's one, that's chiddush A. Chiddush B, and maybe Abaye disagrees with this, but Rava at least says that you can have them far enough away from each other they're not even lovewood. They're not lovewood. But still, you can be machshir the sukkah because of chavut rami. We view them as if this tefach thick piece of schach continues down to the next level. And we say that by a house in terms of Tumah V'Tahara. That's going to be matami, the whole house. So don't we say that? Only if it's a tefach, says Rava. Comes along Rashi and says, no, look at this case. You have a mavui, and you want to make sure that you have a kaira on the fourth side. One of them is less than a tefach, and it's on a lower level. The other one is less than a tefach, and it's on a higher level. So what's the story? Can we say that they are connected, or there's no way to say that they are connected? The million-dollar question. So each one's less than a tefach. So according to Rava, should come out, absolutely not. You can't say chavurami, and you can't say lavud. So there's nothing to talk about. You're going to have to get another car. You're going to have to fix this in a different way. But Rav Ashi apparently looks at this and says, no, no, no. Even less than a tefach, you can say chavurami. Where does he see that? So let's keep reading. So the Braisa continues, Hay achas lamala v'achas lamata. One is above and one is below. Riyoisi, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Riyoisi, son of Yehuda says, Royan al yayna. Ke'ilu hi lamata. We view the upper one as if it is lowered. Vesetachtoina ki'ilu hi lamala. And the lower one as if it is going up. As if it is higher. Uvilvad, provided that, shalaita eliyoina lamala meyasr. The upper one is not higher than 20 amois. Yesr mama. Vatachtoina lamata meyasr. And provided that the lower one is not lower than 10 tefachim to the ground. Hazeh v'zeh. Okay, so that's the end of the quote. Hazeh v'zeh. Behold, or if this one and this one, meaning the two kairos, are b'soich Hashem, are within 20 amos, amrinu chavud rami, we say chavud rami. Afal gav, the less beit tefach. Even though each one doesn't have the width of a tefach. So what do you think? Is there anything about that that makes you wonder? There's something that bothers me about this, which is the dynamics or mechanics of chavut rami versus lavud. Because when we've been discussing this idea like chavut rami or a beam that like makes a virtual wall, like a kira and things like that, I didn't think it's that we say it's lower. It's that we envision it as if it has some sort of continuity. We envision, it's like a virtual wall. It really all it is a kara on top. But because it's a kara on top, and because it's so thick maybe, we envision it as if it's enclosed. It's like a wall. No? Lavud is not like that, right? Lavud is that we envision it as if it's like an extension. Like it keeps going or something. It sounds like a similar concept, right? But when we're talking about things which aren't just simply an extension, one's lower and one's higher, is it that we view them as sort of somehow merging together on the same level? Or do we view one of them as like a wall that comes down to the next? Because it sounds from this brisa, one goes up and one comes down. Isn't that what it said? We view the upper one as if it comes down and the lower one as if it goes up. Well, if they do that, they're going to miss each other. Wait, what do you mean? The upper one should come down, or the lower one should go up. Apparently, we envision them like coming together in the middle somewhere. So I'm wondering if this is really the concept of Chavut Rami that Rava was saying. Because Rava made it sound like when you have this staggered roof, that it's like a virtual wall connects it to the next one. Did he mean that we view it as if it comes down? Or we view it as like a virtual wall. So I thought it meant a virtual wall. Ravashi clearly is not understanding it that way. He's saying, no, here you see the case where it's a kaira, and we're utilizing the principle, I mean, it doesn't say this, right? But he claims, we're utilizing the principle of Havarami to take this beam that's less than a tefach thick and connect it to the one beneath it. Well, it didn't say it's lovewood, right? But it also didn't say it's not. There's a very important piece of information missing here. Is there any significance to the distance between these two curves? You hear what I'm asking? The Mishnah left out any information about the distance between the two, which would lead you to believe what? That it doesn't matter how far away they are from one another.
That you wouldn't use the virtual concept.
Right. In other words, it's obviously not talking about lovewood, because if it meant lovewood, it would have had to specify it's less than 3 or 4, according to other opinion. And it didn't say anything about how far away they are from one another. So it can't be utilizing the principle of lovewood. But wait a minute. I thought that's exactly the difference between lovewood and Chavut Rami. Is that lovewood means that you connect them, you know, you lower them. Chavut Rami is like a wall.
Yeah.
So now there's a discrepancy here. Because the way that the brisa seems to be presenting itself sounds like it's utilizing which principle? Lovewood. But it doesn't say any limitation that it has to be within 3 or 4 tefachim, which gives you the impression, certainly Ravashi, that it's utilizing the principle of Chavut Rami. So it's something strange about this brisa. No? You know what I'm saying, or you don't agree? Or you have no idea what I'm talking about? let's start over. The brisa seems to be giving an interesting dynamic. What do I mean by that? We're talking about something that seems very strange, right? Lavud seems a little strange. Chavut Rami seems maybe even stranger, or maybe equally strange. Lavud means two things that are not connected. We pretend they're connected because they're close enough. It's like a hand grenade, you know? Almost only counts. It's close enough. So that's a principle of lavud. It's a lachal moshe misinai. What do you want from me? Chavut Rami, is it the same thing or is it not the same thing? Well, obviously it's not the same thing because it uses a different dynamic. What do I mean, a different dynamic? It doesn't make a difference about 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim. There's no limitation, it sounds like, right? There's no limitation to how far Chavut Rami goes. So you could have, in this case, of the sukkah of the house, right? Where there's tumma, your mother-in-law's head is rolling around somewhere underneath one of those boards. And there's another board that's way up high on the second level of the house. So it doesn't make a difference how far away they are from each other. I thought the way this works is not that we lower it, but that we envision that the lip is a continuous wall that goes down to the next one. It's just like a sloping wall. It's like, you know, one of those walls that goes up and down. That's all. It's a ceiling, I mean. It's a ceiling that goes up and down. Not because we lower it and we pretend like it's one flat surface.
But it's one ceiling because it just goes up and then it goes down, it goes up and it goes down, but they're all connected. Because as if the lip of that one tefach board goes down. Physically. Not because it's lowered, but it makes a continuous wall that goes down.
That's what I thought. That may be what Rabbi thought too. But comes along Rav Ashi and says, well, come on, how are you going to explain this then? Because this case, we're leaving the case of the house for the Tumah for a minute. Let's go back to Eruvin. The case of Eruvin is you have two poles, two beams, each one less than a tefach, and we need it to be a tefach to work. Each one less than a tefach, and they're staggered at different heights. Can you envision them as connected, as together, and they're wide enough now together to hold that brick, that area? Or you cannot? So the Braisa says, you can. As long as what? What's provided what? So if it meant it works utilizing lavud, it would have had to say provided that they are less than three tefachim from each other. And the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says provided that the top one is not too high to be a kaira, and the bottom one is not too low to be a kaira. Too high means you can't see it. It's more than 20 amos high. And too low means that it's too low because it's not on top of you anymore. It's beneath you. It's less than 10 tefachim to the ground. So it's already too close to the ground. But it sounds like they can be very, very far away from one another. So that's what Rav Ashi says. Obviously, it's utilizing the principle of Chabud Rami because it's not utilizing Lavud. How else could it possibly work unless you've got another option, which we don't seem to have? So what bothers me about that is that, but the way the Braisa describes the way it's working, it says, find a place again, one second. Royin ha'elyoina ki'ilu hilamata. We view the upper one as if it's below. Vezetachtoina ki'ilamala, the lower one as if it's up. But unless I was totally off and wrong, that's not how I understood the case in Tumah V'Tahara. I thought it was a case where we imagine there's a wall that goes down because of the lip. Are you with me on that? Yeah? So that they're two very different principles. There's lavud, which takes things and connects them, like you have to lower and higher. That sounds like this braisa. And then you have chabur rami, which is like a wall that continues down. So there's a problem here, because on the one hand, it sounds like the braisa is talking about lavud. On the other hand, it didn't say provided that they're within the necessary distance. That's lavud.
I use both.
What do you mean? But you don't need to. Why would you do that?
Well, because you're saying, if you use chabad rami, right? So I mean, imagine the way that we were explaining of an imaginary wall. My question initially for this is, okay, fine. So they're meeting in the middle, or they're extending so that the first one is going to the bottom of the
right.
Of, and
another that's
one
the question.
It's working, or are they meeting in the middle?
It sounds like they're meeting in the middle or something. I don't know. It says the upper one goes down, the bottom one goes up. That's what it said.
Can we use chabad rami to make them extend as walls until they're within three tefachim, and then connect them?
Why would you do that?
Because you need them to be able to carry.
So say chabad rami the whole way. You don't need to chabad rami in order to just add in a lavud.
But how do I know how far they're from each other?
It doesn't matter chabad rami. That's all point.
For
lavud,
it does.
You're right, but chabad rami doesn't. So who cares? That's why.
So if I have them five tefachim away, they're both left. Well, the lower one is bigger, it's higher than 10. And the top one is less than 20 ounces, right? Mm-hmm. So now but they're like 5 o'clock away.
Right.
So I could use chabad rami to. That would be
better.
So I don't have to have. I could use chabad rami and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And how
does
that would that work? We would envision the top one being.
I thought it meant it's like the lip of this one tefach board continues down.
That's saying it's not uniform distance.
I mean, one from one. What this board is this and this board is. Okay, but so what?
So let's say one of them is within 3 tefachim, the other one is not.
So that one you could say lavud for it, and the other one you can't. No big deal.
So it's not a sloping, it's like this. Then it'll be like.
You're allowed to be creative the way you build your house. It's okay with me. You can be as creative as you want. Okay, but I think what's bothering me, I think you'll see reflected in the problem of the Gemara. So what happened is you have Rava insisting to say chabad rami, you need a board that's a tefach. Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? I have a raya from Kaira that's not the case. But of Ashi's raya, there's something strange about it. There's something strange about it. Because is it utilizing a Lovewood principle, which is what it sounds like? But then it should have said it has to be within less than three tefachim, and it didn't. So that's why he says it's chavad rami. But if it's chavad rami, then why does it say the upper one goes down and the lower one goes up? Right? That sounds like Lovewood. So we're torn here. There's something missing.
Normally, the chavad rami, they extend up. The bottom one extends.
The top one goes down. That's how we've seen it. The top one goes down.
You don't need the bottom.
That's how Rava used it. You know, that's how Rava quoted it from Tuma V'Tara. Well, let's take a look quickly. Just, I don't want to spend too long on this. I want to go on in the Gemara. But when we had that quote before, what did it say? By Tuma V'Tara, what was the lashon? It didn't say a dynamic at all, right? How do I know this? This is not the mission. Curious bias for Aliyah. Shein Aliyah Maziva and Mechuvanis to Matakas Achas Mehan, Tachta Tame Benaton Ale Yona, Vene and Tame Al Gabi Yona Kinek Aldrekia Tame. Hi Al Yonis Kevena Tachtonis. If the upper ones were in between the lower ones, that's our case. Tuma Tachtayan, Tachas Kulan Tame. There was no dynamic stated at all. Doesn't say there's a wall that goes down. Doesn't say this one goes up, that one goes down. He just says the tumah underneath it is continuous, it spreads. Okay, so in any case, I think I have a hunch that that's what's behind all of this. So let's see. So what does the Gemara do? Amar Leh. So Rav Kahana, who's reporting this previous machlokes, so he said back to Rav Ashi, taritz, which means answer, ve'ema, and say hachi, this. Ubilvad shalay tehel yoina lamala mi esrim, elabasoich esrim. The top one will go down and the bottom one will go up, provided that the upper one is not higher than 20, but rather it's besoich esrim, it's within 20. Then he adds something. Vihatachtoina, and the lower one that it's considered to be connected to, smuchalab pachas mishleisha. Is next to it less than three tefachim. So probably if you prepared this Gemara and Seder, you said to yourself, what gives him the right to say that? You're just going to add, provided that it's Lovewood, that's okay? What kind of answer is that? So you want to sneak in Lovewood to this? What gives you the right to say that? So that's what I'm trying to add. What I'm trying to suggest to you is that what's bothering Rav Kahana is that it clearly sounds like it's utilizing the principle of Lovewood, not a principle of Chavad Rami. You hear what I'm trying to say? The whole reason I gave you this whole introduction was because, again, this is my own chat, that Rav Ashi's proof is not clear at all. Why not? Isn't it clear? It didn't say it had to be within three tefachim. Rav Kahana says, that's what it meant. It has to be within three tefachim. Right? That's the Shulchan Aruch. What gives you the right, Rav Kahana, to say that? It doesn't say that. So I'm suggesting to you, the answer is, because it sure sounds like one goes up, one goes down, is not the principle of Chavad Rami. So why didn't it say it? Because it was assuming it's a principle of love in place over here. And that's what Rav Kahana is trying to say. Inami. Or another possibility. That doesn't mean another possibility. Here the inami means, and the other case, the provided that is, there's a provided that's not too high, and provided that's not too low. So in the too low case, inami, provided that the lower beam is not less than 10 tefachim to the ground, but rather it's 10 tefachim or more above the ground, and the upper one you're trying to connect it to, smuch ala b'pachas mishloisha, is near it less than three tefachim, and therefore it's lovud. Aval shloisha, but if it's more than three away, came into less bay tefach, since you cannot thereby create a tefach thick of beam, because they're not joined, lo aminu chavad rami, we don't say chavad rami. So it ends up that the Gemara has rejected Rav Ashi, and goes back to what we said originally, Rava. That you have to have a board that's a tefach thick in order to say chavad rami. So again, outside, what just happened? What happened was that you have a Mishnah on the previous page that has this claim called Sukkah Hamaduv Lales. Shmuel's up. Rishmu, right? The first opinion in the Gemara was that it just means it's shvach. It's not a lot of schach. The second opinion was that it means that it is levels. It's staggered schach. One is lower and one is higher. What's the chiddush of that? So the first approach with the chiddush is that it's lavud. That's the first one. The bias of it. It's lavud. Rava comes along and says, even if it's not lavud, you can still say that it's a valid schach, even though the higher one and the lower one are very far away from each other, because you can say chavud rami. But you can only say chavud rami if the piece of schach that's high up there is a tefach thick. Then we can envision it going down. When Rav Kahana said this over to Rav Ashi says, has to be a tefach to say that? I'll prove to you from Kaira. You've got two Kairas that are staggered, not directly on top of each other, but one is way high and one is way low. We do consider them connected to each other. And the Gemara says, no, that's only if they're lavud. That's the end of the day, what the Gemara says. How the Gemara got from A to B, what's going on here, why did Rav Ashi originally think we say Chavad Rami, and then our conclusion is not, so that's what I was trying to suggest to you, is that this Braisa seems to be missing a piece of information. Why? Because on the one hand, it doesn't say it has to be lavud. On the other hand, it sounds like it's giving the lumbus of the dynamics of lavud. So because of that, Rav Kahana can shoot back at Rav Ashi and say, obviously it means it's lavud. It's not talking about chavad rami. You're confused.
I'm sad about that. Sorry.
Yeah? Did anybody understand that? Yeah. Should I say it again? Okay, one more time. What the Gemara says is that Rav Ashi turns to Rav Kahana and says, of course you can say Chavud Rami if the piece is less than a tefach. Rav insisted it had to be a tefach to say Chavud Rami. So Rav Ashi says, I can prove to you that's not true. So he brings a Braisa. The Braisa says, if you're trying to make your fourth wall in your Mavui, you need a Kaira. Happens to be, we've got a Kaira that's half a tefach thick, very low to the ground, less but more than 10 tvachim. And you got another Kaira much higher, but less than 20 amis. And together, if we could somehow imagine them together they would be a tefach thick, which is what we need. And the Braisa says, you're good to go. You can do that. Because we envision the higher one lowered and the lower one higher, and therefore they are connected. And the Braisa never says they have to be lavud. Never says, because how would it have said that? It would have said, provided that they're within less than 3 tefachim of each other. The problem that I'm having is, this is why I went into all this lumdus with you. I thought Chavud Rami doesn't work like that. That it's not that you view higher one lower and lower one higher. I thought Chavud Rami meant the lip is enough to envision a wall that goes down. If that's true, then why does the Braisa say we envision the top one going down and the bottom one go up? Unless we were wrong in our understanding of Chavud Rami. But let's assume we were right in our understanding of Chavud Rami. Well, then the Braisa doesn't seem to be saying that's how it works, right? So what's this dynamic of the Braisa? What gives you the right to say one goes up and one goes down? You should have said, we envision the lip as if it's in continuous wall. Why didn't the Braisa say that? So that's what Rav Kahana is answering Rav Ashi. You're wrong in your interpretation of the Braisa. It's not talking about Chavud Rami. It's talking about lavud. Well, if it's talking about lavud, then why didn't it say, provided that it's within less than 3 tvachim? So I don't know. But the fact that the Braisa said one goes up and one goes down should have been your dead giveaway that's talking about lavud. Because had it been talking about Chavud Rami, it would have said, we vision the lip as if it's a continuous wall. But in this Braisa, it doesn't mention it. So Rav Kahana fills in the blank. He says, that's what it meant. What gives him the right to say that? That's what I'm asking. What gives him the right to say, no, you're wrong, just read it differently, add some words to the Braisa? I'm saying because there's a tension in the Braisa. What do you mean a tension in the Braisa? The Braisa is pushing in two different directions. Because on the one hand, it doesn't mention that it has to be lavud. On the other hand, it seems to be explaining it with the principle of lavud. So how can that be?
You thought that the virtual wall concept was more common than the lavud concept? I would imagine though that lavud
is common.
Isn't that the first thing that people think of when you mention a case like this is lavud?
Okay.
Like, I assumed it was level initially, and then, like, so I don't know. I'm figuring that the Bryce is speaking on the context of what is more common to use in a case like this, and they just assume, look, in this case, you clearly...
The problem with saying that is that there is no limitation. It says ubilvad. When it says ubilvad, it's provided that, meaning there is a certain condition that this should work, and it doesn't say as within dritvad, less than dritvad.
Right.
So it gives you the implication that we're not talking about the dynamic of lovehood here. But if we're not, then why did you say one goes up and one goes down? You should have said the wall continues. What's going on over here? So that's the tension in the Braisa. So Rav Ashi interpreted it to mean Chaburama. And Rav Kana shoots back and says, well, then it wouldn't have said one goes up, one goes down. Obviously, it means lovehood. So he sticks in that the...
Wait, so actually it would make more sense to say that it's a continuous form, like you said. Instead of a lovehood, it's a chaburama, right?
Rav Ashi said that's what it means. Because otherwise it would have said, provided that it's less than three tefachim away.
But why are they saying it's not? They're saying it's
not. So I'm suggesting to you, because it doesn't just say that. It says we view the upper one as if it goes down, and the lower one as if it goes up. Why did the Braisa say that?
Like, why would you even need to do that? If you could just say it's a virtual wall.
Or say nothing. Just say that we view them as, you know, it's kosher.
Yeah, it's continuous.
Just say it's kosher. See, it's kosher. By the Tum of Atara, it didn't explain how we look at it. It didn't say we view it as a lip of the wall. It didn't say we view up one up and going down. It just said kosher, you know, or Tumma in that case. The Tumma is
right. So because it says that you have to lower and raise the wall, that's an indication that they're talking about love.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Even though they don't mention that, it needs to be three to
five. Exactly. So that's how I'm explaining Rav Kahana's pushback to Rav Ashi. Okay, if you didn't follow, you can try to listen to it again in the recording if it helps to listen to it. At the end of the day, that's the Shakavatari of the Gemara. I'm just trying to give it a little bit of an explanation to make it better, to make it sound better, more palatable. So then the Gemara goes on and it says, we had this line in the Mishnah that we had a lot of trouble with yesterday. If you remember, we know that if there's more shade than sun, the sukkah is kasher. What is going on over here? What's the chiddush? What is going on? The Gemara here has a different question. As we know, the Gemara's first, and the truth is, it's a better question, is whenever you can deduce something that a Mishnah is saying, you don't have to make any assumptions. So this, listen to the deduction that the Gemara makes. If I tell you that the sukkah is kasher because there's more shade than sun, more shade than sun is kasher. So what if it's 50-50? It's no good. More shade than sun is kasher. But if it's not more, it's 50-50. Pasul. Problem is, our first Mishnah, the Masechta, said if there's more sun than shade, it's pasul. So what if it's 50-50?
Kasher.
It's kasher. So that's a contradiction. It's a contradiction based on deductions. So you don't have to make any assumptions. You don't have to come up with svaras and ask interesting fancy kashas. You just say, dude, that's a logical contradiction. And that's what Gemara does. Oh, that's the preferred question. Because within the Gemaras itself, within the Mishnayos themselves, you have a contradiction. So that's a great kasha. Haki hadade psula. So you see from our Mishnah, that if it's exactly sun and shade, it's no good. But didn't we learn in the other parak, the first parak? Because we're on the second parak, guys, because we finished the first parak. If the sunlight is greater than the shade, it's puzzle. But if it's exactly equal, then it's kasher. So that's a contradiction. Like kasher, it's not a question, says the Gemara. Kan milmalo, kan milamata. What do you think the Gemara means? Here it's above, and here it's below. What does the Gemara mean?
From the viewpoint.
Yeah, what do you mean?
When you're looking from above, it looks like there is less shade on the bottom of the sukkah.
I mean, you're standing above like in a helicopter looking down? Whatever shade is on the ground is on the ground. Can't change that. You can move the sun, maybe. So milmala means the physical schach. One is a reference to the physical schach. If you would evaluate how much schach there is, then you would evaluate it based on how is it more shade than sun. Or you could look at this, the floor, and see how much shade it actually is on the ground. Do you think that would be different, or that would be the same?
Different.
In what way? That's some physics over here.
That's
how the light hits the spot.
The contradiction is that our case seems to say that you need more shade than sun. 50-50 is no good. And the over there in the first Mishnah of the Masechta seems to say that you need more sunlight than shade to be a problem. So if it's exactly 50-50, you are good. So how could it be? That's a contradiction. My answer is it depends if you're talking about the top or the bottom. What do you mean? Meaning the physical schach. What do you mean? So, it's like this. If you have exactly 50-50 schach and space, exactly 50-50, how much shade will you have on the ground?
It depends what time of day
it is. Does it?
Yeah. It also depends where you are.
So, we're going to assume the middle of the day. Because we don't want to deal with the shade tricking us. We want to deal with whether or not this schach is generating enough shade. So the schach is exactly 50-50. How much, and it's the middle of the day, how much shade will you have on the ground, on the floor? Will it be 50-50 or will not be 50-50? Not physicians, any physicists here? These are all doctors, I know. Physicians, whatever. No? See, and you take a flashlight, and what happens when you have a flashlight? It spreads, right? The light spreads. The light spreads into the darkness. So isn't that going to be true here? That if you have exactly 50-50, schach and space, isn't it true that the sunlight that shines in is going to spread out and be more sunlight on the ground and less shade? And then it'll be a problem, right?
It's not how it works.
It's not how it works?
No, it makes your room brighter, but it doesn't make that part of the room, like, it doesn't make the ground not have the shade from the schach on it.
Is that true?
You can see in that part of the room, like, it's just as bright as the other part, but the floor itself still has the shade on it.
It'll be 50-50? Or there will actually, the sunlight will dissipate?
If the sun is perfectly on top of this sukkah, then should be.
We gotta do an experiment, guys. So what does the Gemara say? Gemara says it depends. When you say that 50-50 is enough, that's milmata. But if you're talking about you need more shade than sunlight, that's because it's referring to the physical amount of schach. Amar Rav Papa said, Rav Papa, hainu damri inshe, that's what people say, kizuza mila'el. If it's like a zuz coin, which is a smaller coin, above, ki istra militachas, it'll be like a larger coin, an istra, below. So that's the assumption, is that if there is exactly 50-50 on top, you will not have 50-50 below, you'll have more sunlight. So when we say that you need more shade than sun, like our Mishnah is talking about the physical schach. And in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where it said that if you have 50-50 is good, that's talking about the shade on the floor.
So it's not saying that the shade on the floor would be greater than the shade on the schach? I thought it was talking about that if you have the
assumption is the sunlight's gonna dissipate and make less shade on the ground.
Yeah, but if you have a small coin on top, it's gonna be a larger shadow of the coin below it.
That would be the opposite.
Yeah, that would be more shade than...
Here the Istra above means not that it's making shade, but it's a hole that's allowing light in, the size of a Zuz, will end up being a hole or light at the bottom, the size of an Istra, larger. We'll have to do some experiments.
I don't know, I thought a shadow gets larger, the greater the distance, no?
Yeah, have to do some experiments. That sounds like the Pashup Shad. You want to reverse it?
I don't know,
you want to reverse it? can we say that we're talking about the shade? So well, how would it, can we learn the Gemara in the reverse?
I mean, that's what I did.
So explain how you did it.
No, I said that you have a small coin on top and, you, and then it's basically going to resemble a large.
So what is kan lamala, kan lamata? How do you read it?
That
when the Mishnah says you have 50-50.
Right, but that's saying you have a small
that's
coin
on
top.
Right.
Okay.
And 50-50 is okay. So what does it mean on top? It means exactly 50-50.
You're going to have 50-50 on top. That means you're going to have more shade on the ground.
More shade on the ground. What do you think?
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I'm trying to visualize it.
I don't think you put your fingers in front of the
picture.
I think the
sunlight. I think light spreads.
That's
what it means, like a small slit.
If there's a large hole, light will go straight through. That's just the angle of it.
Yes,
position. It has everything to do with position of the light into you.
But technically, you can see. I don't know.
But so let's say you had a light on top of this light, and this light was off. This would seem.
Well, no,
that's not true.
I mean, the shadow is just below.
It would be proportional to
the object.
It would be exactly the same size.
Not the shadows.
It'd be exactly the same size. If you put like a little coin right below this, the shadow would be exactly the same size.
Yeah, but then explain the projector. Like
projector again. I just made the same point. It's going to be expanding. The light expands because
right.
It's a projector. This is not expanding anything. It's already expanded. Just put a light.
The light. The sunlight's expanding when it goes through the hole.
Wrong. No, because it's just a massive light that's just going straight down.
What can I tell you? The way I explained it, the reason I explained it that way, is because that's Peter's Rashi.
Okay.
If you want to take a look, no, I'm not.
But was the
Rashi right? Take a look at
it.
Rashi, you see where it says Mishnah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 lines up? Kizuzim kisu mitzachas kishahan nekev. When the whole rach of kishir or zuz has the width of the amount of a zuz coin. Chamasoi meruba lemata. The sunlight is greater below kishir sela, like the size of a sela. Now I'll have you know, our Rishonim disagree with Rashi, just like you said, in the exact reverse, and that seems to be a machlekes in mitzias. So we're gonna have to do some experiments and see which one is correct. Is this because we are talking about the sun at different angles? If the sun is off to the side, will it force the shade to expand because it's at an angle versus if the sun is directly overhead? Why is it that Rashi insists the Gemara is talking about the sun directly overhead and other Rishonim are assuming maybe not like that? And if you remember, we discussed in the very first Daf Amud again, what is the story with the sunlight and the shade? And if the walls are so high, the schach is so high, then you're not going to be sitting in the shade of your schach anymore. We said, well, that's because the sun must not be directly above you. Because if the sun were directly above you, then what's the difference how high the schach is? So, when is the sun ever directly above you? In Sukkis, in Eretz Yisrael, we're not living in the equator. You know, when is that ever going to happen? So the sun's always going to be off to the side. So maybe that's where the other Rishonim would come from. Why does Rashi seem to insist that we're talking about the sun directly overhead, and that's why the sunlight will be greater? Is that true? So, anyway, this would be your physics experiment, Taramata here. So you're going to have to figure out how this is going to work. This machlokas Rishonim, where it's not a machlokas in physics, but it's a machlokas over something else, but how we need to evaluate this. Are we evaluating it based on the sun directly overhead, as if we're at the equators for some reason? And maybe that's Pshat Rashi, or are we going to insist that, we've been insisting seemingly on Amud Aleph, which is that the sun's never going to be directly overhead, so that's why, if the schach is too high, you won't be sitting in it, because we'll be off to the side. Because the sun is at an angle. So, okay, there's research to be done.
Is the Gemara mentioning, though, that specifically placing the coin on top, or is it just talking about
a hole?
It's talking about a hole?
I think so. Unless you want to say that's the opposite approach. The opposite approach would be that if you put something in the way, then it will make a larger shade on the ground.
But
that's not Rashi's pshat, but the other Rishonim. Well, they're not.
Right, but you're interpreting that as a hole because that's what Rashi
I'm just telling you Rashi's pshat in the Gemara.
Okay.
Okay. So just to finish it up, So the Mishnah said, "Move a kamin bias. If it's so thick, the sach is so thick, it's like a house." And we asked at the time, "Why do you have to say like a house? Just say it's a lot of sach. You know, like why do you have to say it like that?" And you guys all said, "Because a bias makes it sound like there's a kvius to this. It's too keva. The walls. We had a whole discussion. Can do they have to be keva? What's the story of keva of the walls? But the sach, we said the sach can't be keva, right?" Tanu Rabbanon, move a kamin bias. If the sach is so thick, it's like the roof of a house. Even though the stars cannot be seen from within it, it's still kosher. Okay, question to you. Is that a lashon of lichat chila or bidi eved? Right, we've asked this question a few times. When the Gemara makes our Mishnah, right, so makes a statement and says that something is kosher. When do you know if it's lichat chila and when do you know if it's only bidi eved? Do you remember how to distinguish? If the Gemara says, if you do this, it's kosher, is that meaning that's recommended practice? Or that means it's a kasher b'di'evid? It means it's a kasher b'di'evid, right? So that's what we're saying, is that if it is like this, b'di'evid, it's kasher. Not recommended practice, but it's still kasher b'di'evid. Even though you can't see the stars from within it, it's still kasher b'di'evid. Ein, koicha v'chama, you're in mitoicha. Now, koicha v'chama is a funny phrase. Because what does it literally translate into? Kochavei chama? What's the chama? The sun. What's kochavei? Stars in plural, right? So what does it mean? The sun stars?
Yeah.
What does that mean? There's only one sun. What is this? Tatooine?
The light is stars in the sun. Light of the stars in the sun. I don't know.
Maybe the brain is from the stars that are illuminating.
Stars are suns.
Are we living in a place where there's more than one sun?
Yeah, the stars are giving light.
Maybe back then they did.
So, what does Rashi say? Kochavei chama, keshechama zayrachas aleho, when the sun shines on it, ve'ein zharurei chama nirin mitoicha. What is zohar?
Light.
Yeah, I mean, the rays. So how does Rashi translate kochavei? The rays of the light. So it means the sun's rays. So that's what Rashi says. So the way Rashi reads it is, Ein kochavei chama nirin mitoicha. That's a case. If the rays of the sun cannot be seen from within the sukkah, there's no sunlight shining in. No sunlight shining in. And when the sun's out. Beishamai poislin, beisila machshirin. Beishamai says it's basal, but beisila is still willing to say that it is kosher. Now again, all this is b'di'evet. L'chadchila, we know. Supposed to try to see the stars. At least you should see the moon. You should see some stars at night, maybe. So a discussion in Rishonim and Halacha, what exactly is the best way to build your schach? But b'di'evid, even if it is very thick, and even if the sunlight doesn't even shine through at all, Beis Hillel still holds that is considered, that is still kasha. Okay, take a breather for a minute, and then we'll learn a shtekel Halacha before we dive in Mincha.